So yesterday, we missed the class. Therefore, we have to cover two aspects of Sharanagati today. The fourth and fifth. So what's the fourth aspect of Sharanagati? And what does it mean? Very good. And what's the fifth one? Yes. Does anybody know what the fifth one actually means? Yes, Dina Chaitanya? To accept. Very good. So today we'll cover these two aspects of devotional service, two aspects of surrender. That is, to accept or to recognize Krishna as the supreme protector. To have the conviction that when you become a devotee, then Krishna will protect us under all circumstances. Bhakti Vinod Thakur wrote many songs covering that aspect, but we will consider one song, we will discuss one song covering that aspect. So I'll just read the song first and then we will discuss the translation.
Tumi to maribe jare, ketare rakhite pare, sago ichha bosho vibhuban, brahma adi devogan, tabo dasho yagonan, tare tabo adgaro palan, tabo ichha mate jato, grahogano abirato, shubha shubho fal kare dan, rog shok mriti bhay, tabo ichha mate hoy, tabo abhya sada balovan, tabo bhaye bayu bhay, chandra surya samudaye, sha sha niyamito karjo kare, tumi to parameshwar, paro brahmo paratpar, tabo basho bhakatoyam tare, sada suddho siddho kam, bhakato vatsalo nam, bhakato janero nitto shami, tumi to rakhibe jare, ketare marite pare, sakolo bithiro bithi tumi, tomaro charone nath, toriyache pranipat, bhakati binodo sabodas, bipad hoite shami, অবশ্য তাহারে তুমি রক্ষিবে তাহার এ বিশ্বাস. তো ভক্তি বিনোদ ঠাকুর ইজ সেইং অর প্রেইং, ও মাই লর্ড, ওয়েন ইউ ওয়ান্ট টু কিল সামওয়ান, দেন হু ক্যান প্রোটেক্ট হিম? ওয়েন ইউ ওয়ান্ট টু স্লে সামবডি, ওয়েন ইউ ওয়ান্ট টু কিল সামবডি, নো ওয়ান ক্যান অ্যাকচুয়ালি প্রোটেক্ট হিম. Like we have seen, there are so many demons, they are very, very powerful personalities. Like Ravan, Hamsa, Shishupal, Adhasur, Bakasur, all these demons are actually very, very powerful people. But Krishna killed them. And when Krishna killed them, no one could protect them. There are some very nice incidences. Like there were some demons who were great devotees of Lord Shiva. And in order to protect these devotees, Lord Shiva actually fought with Krishna, but still Shiva couldn't protect those demons. Generally the demons are devotees of Lord Shiva. Do you know why the demons worship Lord Shiva? Raise your hand, those who know. Okay. Yeah, because it's very easy to please Shiva and get benediction. So demons want to get benediction and become powerful. Therefore, they consider that it is easy to please Lord Shiva, so let us just take Lord Shiva, just pray or worship Lord Shiva, please him, and get some quick benediction. And as a result of that, giving that quick benediction, Lord Shiva oftentimes gets into trouble. There was one demon, Vrikasura. He wanted to get the benediction that upon whosoever he places his hand on, his head would crack into 1,000 pieces. And so he was praying to Lord Shiva, he was performing austerities in order to please Lord Shiva. And then finally Lord Shiva appeared, and then Vrikasura asked this benediction from Lord Shiva, that please give me a benediction that whenever I put my hand upon someone's head, his head would crack into 1,000 pieces. So Lord Shiva said, okay, fine, granted. So Lord Shiva granted that benediction, and then this demon said, okay, now let me try it upon you. So let me try it, let me see whether how effective this power is. Let me put my hand over your head. And then Lord Shiva was in trouble, so he started to run away. He ran from there, and the demon also ran after Lord Shiva. So then Lord Shiva met Narayan on the way. So Narayan asked Shiva, what happened? Then Shiva told what happened. Then Narayan said, okay, and Shiva prayed to him, please, save me. So he said, okay. And so Narayan took the form of a brahmana. And so then he was walking by the road, and when he saw Vrikasura coming, so he asked Vrikasura, hey, why are you running like this? So he said, you see, I'm looking for Lord Shiva. He said, why? He said, Shiva gave me a benediction that whenever I put my hand on somebody's head, his head would crack. So he actually gave me the benediction, so I want to try out on him. So then Narayan, as a brahmana, he said, look, Shiva fooled you. How is it possible? And in the meantime, Narayan used his Jogamaya potency, bewildering potency. And this demon, and then with the bewildering potency, he bewildered the demon and told the demon, actually, it's not true. And why don't you put your hand over your head and see whether it works? And so the demon put his hand over his head, and then what happened? His head cracked in 1,000 pieces. There are many other cases also where Lord Shiva tries to protect these devotees. One such devotee was Shalva. Shalva was fighting with Krishna, and Shalva was a devotee of Lord Shiva. And then Shiva actually came to protect Shalva and fought against Krishna. And then what happened? Krishna, with his Sudarshan Chakra, burnt the city of Benares, which was the abode of Lord Shiva and capital of Shalva. And Shalva somehow got saved, and Lord Shiva realized his mistake and begged to Krishna to forgive him. And when his place in Kashi got burnt out, then Shiva came to Navadvip. How many of you visited the place where Lord Shiva came after Benares was burnt? How many of you went out in Parikrama and you saw the place? What is the name of that place? No. Harijaya Kshetra. So Lord Shiva came and stayed there. And he's still there. You all saw him? Shiva also tried to fight with Krishna on behalf of King Mana, King Vanasu. Vanasu. So in this way, Krishna, when Krishna wants to kill someone, no one can kill him. Not even Lord Shiva. Why? Because Lord Shiva, everyone is subservient to Krishna. No one is more powerful than him. And so that will come afterwards. That your, the whole creation, all the three worlds are subordinate to your wish. Great powerful demigods like Lord Brahma are your servants. In this way you have innumerable servants. And they simply abide by your instruction. According to your, by your will, the planets exercise their auspicious and inauspicious influences. Different planets cast their influences. Are you all aware of that fact? What are the planets that cast good influences? How many, who knows? Okay. And? No, Venus. Yeah. Anyway, it depends how the planet is looking at you. This way, the most auspicious planet is actually Jupiter. Brihaspati. Anyway, this way different planets have their influences. So when they cast their favorable glance on the living entity, then everything becomes very prosperous for them. Everything becomes very auspicious for them. But there are some planets that have bad influences. Can you name one? Rahu is there. Is Saturn? Okay, Rahu. Very good. Mars. But especially Saturn is famous for that. Actually, when Saturn looks at someone, all inauspiciousness comes to him. Actually, that is how Ravan was tricked. Ravana was causing so much disturbances. So then, Ravana was actually traveling through the celestial path. So at that time, one of the sages, in order to trick Ravan, told Ravan that, Ravan, look, Saturn is not looking at you. He is disregarding you. It's such a disrespectful attitude towards you. You are such a great personality and he doesn't even dare to look at you. So then Ravan demanded that Saturn look at him. And Saturn did, upon Ravan's command. And as a result of that, what happened? Ravan's whole family was destroyed. And Ravan's capital, Lanka, which was built with gold, was burned. So, in this way, different planets cast their influences on the individual. Every individual is actually being influenced by the planet, by different planets. Now here, it says that these planets cause their auspicious and inauspicious influence due to Krishna's desire. Now that, from that we learn a very good lesson. What is that lesson? The lesson is, when we become a devotee of Krishna, then we don't have to worry about the planet. The auspicious or inauspicious glances of the planets. Because all the planets are under Krishna. So if we become subordinate to Krishna, if we become surrendered to Krishna, then we don't have to worry about them anymore. Not even different planets. I'm saying it because oftentimes I notice that the devotees become very much caught up with this kind of trips. And they start going to the astrologers, making calculations. They even often go to the ghost pastors to get rid of the ghosts. But actually they are all cheaters. Don't go to these cheaters and become cheaters. Just depend upon Krishna and he will never cheat. Krishna will never cheat. Depend upon Krishna and all your life, your entire life will become auspicious. Illness, grief, death and fear occur by your will. How does it happen? Illness, grief, death and fear, they happen according, it's being said here, that they happen according to Krishna's will. Now does it mean that Krishna desires that let this person die or that person suffer and this person become ill? Does Krishna make arrangements like that himself? Does Krishna think, because I don't like this character, let him die? Does it happen like that? Then what is the meaning of these things happen according to Krishna's will? It happens according to Krishna's will, not directly, but indirectly. Krishna has made an arrangement in this material nature, the arrangement of guna and karma. Karma is, as one acts, accordingly he becomes liable to the reaction. And those reactions take place according to the modes of material nature. And there is a system by which all these affairs of the material nature are being controlled. That system is the demigods. Different demigods are actually taking care of different aspects of the material nature and giving the results of the reaction of different individuals' actions. Karmana daiva netrena. Daiva netrena means divine eyes. And karmana means, karmana means according to the activity. So the living entities are acting and there is a divine eye, always watching us, and accordingly they are giving us the results of our action. Therefore, when something bad happens to us, we must understand that we must have done something bad in the past and I am suffering the reaction of that. And when something good happens, then what should we do? We must realize that we must have done something good in the past and for that we are just being rewarded. So in this way, according to Krishna's arrangement, different living entities are enjoying or suffering the consequences of their activity. In fear of you, the wind blows, and the sun, moon, and all others perform their allotted duty. So everything in this nature is actually acting according to Krishna's will. They are performing their duties out of their fear of Krishna. Krishna is the supreme authority. And according to Krishna's command, everyone is abiding by and performing their duties. You are the supreme Lord, the supreme spirit, the supreme above all. Your residence is in the heart of your loving devotee. So although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the supreme controller of the entire creation, but he resides in the heart of his devotees. So if we become a devotee, then our hearts will become the residence of Krishna. You are eternally pure. Whatever you desire becomes fulfilled. Your name is Bhakata Vatsala, for you are very affectionate to your devotees. You are the eternal lord of the devotees. Who can slay that person whom you wish to protect? You are the law of all laws. So now we have seen how Krishna is the supreme controller. Krishna is the supreme authority. And now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is describing that if you want to protect someone, then who can ever harm him? Who can slay the person whom you wish to protect. Therefore, a devotee simply surrenders unto Krishna for protection. And not the devotee asks for protection, but Krishna takes care of his devotee. Just like a child doesn't ask his father for protection. Does a little child ask his father or mother to protect him? But the father and mother naturally protect him. Similarly, our Supreme Father, Krishna, when we surrender unto him, then he will give us all protection. Therefore, a devotee is always careful. He knows Krishna will give him protection. Questions will be asked at the end. O Lord, your eternal servant, Bhakti Vinod, has bowed down at your lotus feet. O Master, he cherishes the faith that you will surely protect him for all dangers. So in this way, a devotee has full confidence, full faith that Krishna will protect him. So, okay, then we go to the next aspect. The next aspect is accepting whatever is favorable to Krishna consciousness. Whatever is favorable to Krishna consciousness, we must accept that. So this one, anyway, we won't sing this song, so I'm just read through the translation. Because I'll just sing the other song today, because we won't be able to sing both the songs. Anyway, I'll just read through the text also. Keshava tuva jagata vichitra karama vipake bhavavana bhramai pekhalu ranga bahuchitra tuapada vismriti amara jantana klesho dahane dati jai kopilo patanjali gautama kanabhaji jaimeni bautva avedhai tava koi nijamate bhukti mukti jachata patoi nanabidha fad so sab banchaka tuva bhakti bahir mukha ghatave disham paraman Vaimukha vanchane bhataso sabu niramila vividha pasara dandavata durata bhakati vinoda dhela bhakata charana kadisara. This material creation of yours, O Keshava, is most wonderful. I have roamed throughout the forest of this universe in consequence of my fruitive activities, and I have beheld many strange and curious thing, curious sight. Forgetfulness of your lotus feet has brought on anguish and grief, and I burn in the fire of misery. My would-be saviors, Kapila, Gautama, Kanada, Jaimini, and Buddha, come running to my aid. Each expounds his particular view, dangling various pleasures and liberation as bait in their philosophical traps. They are all cheaters, averse to your devotional service, and thus fatally dangerous. They are heroes of karma, jnana, and yoga, who specialize in opinions and proofs for cheating the materially inclined. Bhakti Vinod, considering refuge at the feet of the Vaishnavas, pays his respect to these cheating philosophers from afar. So in this way, pointing out that how we should accept only whatever is favorable to Krishna consciousness. I actually got this song mixed up. This is actually unfavorable aspect. This is not the favorable. So the unfavorable things have to be rejected. So what has to be rejected? The karma, jnana, yoga, etc. have to be rejected. So this song is actually Bhakti Pratikul. Not the fifth aspect, this is the sixth aspect. So these are the things that we have to reject. Now, what is detrimental to Krishna consciousness? And what is detrimental to Krishna consciousness? What is detrimental? Whatever is hindrance, whatever causes hindrance to devotional service is detrimental. Okay. So, do you like to sing? How many of you like to sing? And how many of you don't want to sing? You don't want to sing?
No, I want.
Very much. So, does anybody have any question?
Sometimes they ask them,
yeah, very good. Yeah. The question is, sometimes people say that you all claim that Krishna always protects his devotees, but still we see that the devotees fall sick and devotees die. So how can you say that Krishna always protects? Okay. So, we have to understand that who we actually are and who is actually protected by Krishna. Are we this body or are we something else? And when Krishna protects, does Krishna protect our body or Krishna protects something else? Like, actually this body is material. Matter is perishable. Matter is transient. So matter is going to decay and matter is going to die. So this body's death is inevitable. But a devotee of Krishna realizes that he is not his body. He realizes that he is beyond his body, he is the spirit soul. It is he who, when he is in the body remains alive, and when he leaves the body becomes dead. Similarly, we can just put it in this way, that when we say Krishna will protect you, does it mean that Krishna is going to protect the jacket that you are wearing? Huh? Is that the extent of the protection that you are expecting from Krishna? That Krishna will protect your jacket? You know that this jacket is just an outer covering. And that covering, that jacket, is going to wear off. But you know that although this jacket will go, it will become old and it will get worn out, then you will take off this jacket and put on a new one. And Krishna will give you unlimited jackets whenever you need. Right? So, Krishna doesn't... It will be wrong to think that Krishna will protect our body, but Krishna will protect our soul. And that's the protection of the soul is what really matters. Okay, he had the question before. Yeah. Okay, I repeat please. Okay, Krishna, devotee doesn't pray for protection. What is the meaning? Well, sometimes we can pray, Krishna protect me, but that's not the main prayer. Our main prayer, when we chant Hare Krishna, do we say Krishna protect me? Or do we say Krishna please engage me in your service? So when you become engaged in Krishna's service, then Krishna automatically protects you. If you have a nice servant who serves you very nicely, won't you protect him when he is in trouble? Won't you? Or you'll say, okay, let him just go to hell, I don't care. No. When we serve Krishna, then Krishna becomes so pleased with us that he goes out of his way to protect us. And there are so many examples in the scriptures.
Even our movement, there are so many great devotees, which you can down, and not smile.
Well, when they decide to accept Maya, Krishna does tell them that don't fall in Maya. But when they don't want to listen to Krishna, then what can be done? Krishna has given us the free will. Krishna doesn't interfere with our free will too much. So when we decide to leave Krishna and go to Maya, then finally Krishna has to let us go. And Krishna allows us to go into Maya to realize how terrible Maya is, so that we can come back to Him with greater intensity and surrender. The question is, the Bhagavad Gita says that the worship of demigods is in the mode of goodness. So how do you understand that worship of demigod is in the mode of goodness? Actually, it is basically in the mode of goodness, but it can be also mixed with passion and ignorance. For example, that of the demigods, the worship of demigods have been also classified. Like worshipping of Vishnu is in the mode of goodness. Worship of Surya and Ganesh is in the mode of passion. And the worship of Devi and Shiva is in the mode of ignorance. So basically it's in the goodness, but in goodness also there are categories. Just like the modes, we know there are three, then they are again multiplied by 3, 9. Then again 9 by 3, 27. 27 by 3 is 81. This way it keeps on increasing. Similarly, in goodness also you get goodness, 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 passion, goodness, ignorance, and so on. So for there, it's like in a mixing of colors. Okay, that's one thing. Anyway, basically, what was your question? It seems it's contradictory. You have to see, like, compared to worshipping God, isn't demigod worship better? So there are some people who worship God. Right? Some people worship Jakshas, Rakshasas. But as a devotee, what do we have to do? Are the devotees in the mode of goodness? Devotees are in what mode? Transcendental. Therefore, devotees are transcendental to demigod worship. And there, they simply become devotees of Krishna.
What to say about the other religion? If you, Shiva is already in the universe, how to say the other religion?
Other religion? Well, it depends. The question is, if Lord Shiva is in the mode of worshipping of Lord, not Shiva is in ignorance, but the worshipping of Lord Shiva takes place in the mode of ignorance, then what to speak of other religion? Well, the other religion, for example, other religions, many other, say for example Christianity, is actually speaking of worshipping of Krishna. So they are in mode of goodness. I mean, if they are performed, if it is executed properly. They are not promoting demigod worship. They are promoting worship of God the Father, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyway, okay, quite a few questions on this side. Okay, I'll start from here.
Why do you wear different kavachas if Krishna protects anyway?
Well, when the faith is not strong enough, then one will wear a kavacha in a physical form. But when the faith is strong enough, then one will wear the kavacha in the form of the mantra. He'll know, because I'm chanting the mantra, that mantra is going to give me the protection. So, ultimately it's a matter of being convinced that Krishna is going to protect. Okay. Yeah, first of all, yes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to enable us to enter into Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. That's the reason why Krishna came as Chaitanya. And as you serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, recognizing that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead who came as a devotee, then you become qualified to enter into Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. So yes, in a way it's correct to think that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime is actually meant for preparing us to go back to Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. But then also we have to recognize that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes is eternal. It's not that we take advantage of Mahaprabhu's pastimes and then go to Vrindavan and then we forget Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's not that. Both are going on simultaneously. And the devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will have a prerogative or will have the facility to be in both places. In Mahaprabhu's pastimes, also in Krishna's pastimes. And both the pastimes are going on eternally. Is that clear? Okay, there's Mataji. I still... You see, now let's consider, what does Nrisingadev do? Do you know what Nrisingadev does? Yeah, protects in what way? Protects the devotion of the devotee. Nrisingadev doesn't, it's not that just he is going to protect our body as such. He is going to protect our devotion. Like, that's why Nrisingadev is known as Bhakti Vighna Vinashan. The one who destroys all the impediments on the path of devotion. So as a devotee, when we take shelter of Nrisingadev, or say, chant the Nrisinga Kavacha mantra, or even wear the Nrisinga Kavacha physically, it's all actually meant to protect our devotion. Is that clear? I don't know which prayer you're talking about. Nrisinga Kavacha. This is the one from by Prahlad or by Narad Muni? This is the Prahlad Maharaj. Huh? I see. Anyway, one may pray, but ultimately, you see, like, we have to understand that these prayers ultimately will culminate into the spiritual accomplishment of desiring only the protection of devotion. Initially one may pray like that, but the ultimate culmination will be in desiring to protect the devotion.
Now Krishna protects the soul, because the soul cannot be burned, cannot be died.
How Krishna can protect the soul, because the soul cannot be burned or fried? Anyway, so I got it. That the soul can fall into Maya. And that's how the soul should be protected. The soul should be protected from the influence of Maya. Because that's the greatest danger of the soul. The soul cannot be destroyed. It's true. Soul is not subjected to different material conditions or material calamities. But the soul is subject to the illusory energy of the Lord. And that's where from the soul should be protected. And that's where the devotee always prays, please protect me from Maya. Yes? How do you come internally? Well, right. You see, before we go internal, we have to take care of the external. Right? When our consciousness is externally projected, it'll be futile to make an endeavor to go internal. You understand my point? Therefore, before taking shelter of Krishna within the heart, we actually have to take shelter of the spiritual master.
who is the representative of Krishna, who has externally manifested in order to bestow his mercy upon us. And as we surrender unto the spiritual master, then gradually we will come internal. For example, see, first we will see the spiritual master as the person giving instruction, and then gradually we will see that the more important than the physical, contact with the spiritual master, reciprocation of the spiritual master, is the instruction of the spiritual master. Right? Just like we know that more important than Gopu is the Vani. Right? So the instruction of the spiritual master becomes more important than, physical service to the spiritual master, or the association of the spiritual master as such. Physical association of the spiritual master. And so this way, we become more internal. From Gopu to Vani is more internal. And then, by serving the spiritual master through his Vani, we go even more internal. Then you recognize the spiritual master as the Chaitya Guru who is situated in the heart. And this way we recognize that the spiritual master is the extension of the super soul. Or vice versa, the spiritual master is actually situated within the heart. And then, by following the instructions of Chaitya Guru who is in the heart, we, or spiritual master in the heart, the spiritual world becomes revealed and we begin to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead surrounded by His eternal associates in the spiritual sky. And this way, our heart actually becomes the spiritual sky. So this is how we go internal. It is not a matter of just, artificially trying to think of some pastimes of Krishna and, thinking that, we have we are internalizing ourselves. That will not work. The process is, so there are two aspects again. One is the spiritual master and the other is the holy name. And that implicit faith in both will help us to go internal. Because as we chant the holy name, as we meditate upon the holy name will reveal himself as Krishna. Is it clear? What is difficult? Well, Prabhupada actually created ISKCON to give all the devotees that shelter and security, so that they can execute devotional service properly. Now, I feel sad to hear that you are not feeling sheltered in it. Anyway, you speak to your authority. Did you ever tell them? Huh? Why don't you tell them? Okay, I'll tell them. Yes? Well, Rasa Bhasa means, the meaning of the word Rasa Bhash means which appears to be like Rasa, but actually it is not Rasa. Say for example, the mirage appears to be like water, but is it actually water? Now if you are thirsty, and you see the water in the mirage and you run after the mirage, will ever thirst be ever quenched? So that's why rasa abhash means that gives you the impression of rasa, but actually it's not rasa. So it's not going to give you the thing that you are actually searching for. So that's why one is told not to accept rasa abhash. Reject the rasa. If you want to have the real thing, then why should you trade for some fake? Yes? Yes. The worshipping out of fear is inferior to love. Say, for example, someone may become submissive to the king out of fear that if he doesn't abide by the law of the king, then he'll be punished. But the king's son, who has a loving relationship with his father, he doesn't care so much about the laws, and he is not afraid of being punished by his father if he does something wrong. But he, and because he has a loving relationship with his father. So the thing is that when we see Krishna as the supreme controller, then we submit to him out of fear. But when we recognize him as our supreme master or friend or son or lover, then that fear automatically disappears. So in this way, love is superior to fear. And in love there is no fear. Yes. So first of all, you follow the instructions of your Diksha Guru. So that's what you first follow. Then you will see that your Guru is simply dictating the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. Guru's instruction to you is not different from the instructions of his Guru. And then you will see that the other senior devotees of ISKCON are also dictating the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. So in this way, you will see that wherever senior devotees are giving instruction to you, to according to Srila Prabhupada, then you see, well, they are all my gurus and I must follow their instructions. But until you come to that point, at least you become submissive to your spiritual. In the beginning, you may not be submissive to so many gurus, but at least become submissive to one guru. Start with one, right? And then it will expand. But make sure that it expands. Like one shouldn't think that just me and my guru. Then what will happen in ISKCON? There will be many groups. That's not good. We must understand that ISKCON is one family with Srila Prabhupada in the center. And we all are related to each other. My guru has his brothers. So my guru's brothers are my uncles. My guru's sisters are my aunts. My guru's sons are, guru's disciples are my cousins. In this way, we all are in a big family. And isn't it nice to be a big family? Nice to be a part of a big family? Yes or no? Okay. So, you had a question here. Prabhupada sometimes may have, you know, like, if some astrologers came and gave some reading, you know, Prabhupada may have made some comment, but Prabhupada didn't go out of his way to these astrologers as such. But if some astrologer said something, after all it's a sign, you know, astrology is a sign, Vedic sign, and you know, if someone predicted something, and if it happened, that's one thing. But to depend upon the astrologers all the time, now my sunny is in a bad house, so let me get a stone, or make some kind of a sacrifice to counteract the influence of sunny, you know, that's what shouldn't be done. One should just depend upon Krishna and carry on with his devotional service. And just like a child depends upon his father, and the father takes care of the child. So we have to become children of Krishna. Yes? Question. Like, and an instrument, what does the instrument do?
instrument just becomes, it just stays in the hand of the player and let the player play. But if the instrument thinks, no, I won't depend upon the player, I'll play it myself, then the trouble will start. So our problem is that instead of becoming instrument, we want to become the players. Right? So we have to stop being a player and we have to start becoming an instrument in the hand of Krishna. Then Krishna, yes, Krishna will use us in spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. The question is how surrendered you are going to become. And that's why we are having this seminar. Right? Discussing the process of surrender. Yes, okay. Advanced I am, right? See, a devotee who is, oh, the question you didn't hear. So you said that a devotee doesn't try to defend himself from any danger, he simply depends upon Krishna. So does it mean a devotee doesn't make any endeavor to protect himself? So the answer to that is, that will depend to what extent the devotee is surrendered. Like if the devotee is 100% surrendered, no, he won't defend himself. He won't try to protect himself. Like Prahlad Maharaj. Was Prahlad Maharaj trying to defend himself? No. But Krishna always protected him. So the question is how pure we have become, how surrendered we have become. Not when in danger. Sentiment runs away when one is in trouble. Right? Sentiment is just on the surface, superficial. Sentimental, it's mental. Right? Okay. Well, it depends what desire you have in your heart. That will come true. I'll tell you a story that Harikesh Maharaj told us. Once he was telling us a story that one man, a woodcutter, went to the wood to collect some wood. Went to the forest to collect some wood. So while he was cutting the wood, his axe broke. And he was actually stand next to a desire tree. So when the axe broke, he desired, oh, my axe broke. If I wish I could, there was a new axe now. And immediately one axe came. Then he started to chop the wood, then the tree. Then he thought, the woodcutter thought, that, oh, it's such a trouble to just cut the wood. If the axe on itself cut the wood, it would have been so nice. So the axe started to go, move and cut the wood. Anyway, so this way he started to desire one after another. So, oh, if all the logs were cut into pieces, that would have been so nice. So the logs were cut into pieces. If the logs were tied up into a bundle, it would have been so nice. That it was tied up to a bundle. Then he thought, oh, I'm so tired and hungry. I'm so hungry. If there was some nice food, it would have been so nice. So immediately a nice plate of food came. And he ate the food. And after eating the food, he felt tired. And he thought, let me just lie down for a while. And he fell asleep. After such a nice plate of food, he fell asleep. And when he woke up, it was in the middle of the night. And then he thought, oh, it's already middle of the night. And if a tiger comes and eats me up, what will happen? So, and a tiger came and ate him up. So, in the holy dham, there are many desire trees. So, be careful what you desire. So, best way is only to desire about Krishna and Krishna's service. Okay, so, yeah. Okay. Pray to Krishna. Pray to Krishna that you don't desire the wrong thing. Like pray to Krishna, na dhanam, na janam, na sundaram.
These are the wrong desires. Dhanam janam sundarim. Don't desire that. And what should you desire? Mama janmani janmanishwari. Bhavatad bhakti rahai. You know the meaning? Okay, I'll take last two questions. One is Raghunatha. To suffer. But we are creating our own suffering.
So my question is, when the body starts to being here, we should take some injection for stretching for our ailment. What is the opinion of the time? Should we take or not take?
Well, if you feel that you are going to fall sick, then take injection. But if you can avoid the injection, it's better. Take Ayurvedic medicine. Okay, what's your question? God. What do you know about? Anyway.
Like some student was massacred in Bali. They are in Bali.
What?
Like, where in Bali?
Anyway, don't get into that. The thing is that there is nothing called Gopi Bhava Club as such. Who said there is a Gopi Bhava Club? Who said that? That's not true. You see, devotees, the main thing is that devotees are realizing that Prabhupada, you know, like in ISKCON, we just depend upon Srila Prabhupada's instruction. And we shouldn't go deviate from that. We should just say, stick to Srila Prabhupada's
instruction.
Those who are following Srila Prabhupada's instructions, naturally they are going. Why? What, did anyone tell you anything?
Yeah, there's
some issue with something different. No, don't read that. That's wrong. That's not good. No, like, if this is also, you should avoid what is detrimental to Krishna consciousness. If something doesn't help your devotion, that's not. Avoid that. By hearing all these things, is it helping your devotion? Then just avoid. Don't listen to those. If there is some literature, don't read them. And if there is anything wrong, then there is a GBC body. GBC body will take care of it. You do not have to take the law in your hand. Right? So, and there is so far there is nothing wrong in it. Everything is perfectly right. Alright? All the gurus in ISKCON are as bona fide as pure devotees of Krishna.